Jerry? Jerry! Now, drat the boy. Jerry! The father was out!
He went out, Jerry.
Never hear where you want him. He was shaping well till you got him running errands. I'll not have him softened up by you and your ways.
Jerry,
no. I see that look in your eye. And I know. Know and know again. Who provide the crust? Who provide the tea, the ale, the meat to your table? Who provide it? I do. And what do? You go flopping again. Turn my lad. Jerry!
You're not going out tonight, Jerry, are you?
And if I was?
Nothing.
I'll give you nothing. If as a honest tradesman my winters goes wrong, I shall work you for it. Just the same as if I seen you do it.
Oh, God.
You see, you're at it afore my face.
I'm saying nothing, Jerry.
Well then, don't meditate nothing. You might as well flop as meditate. You may as well go and give me one way or another. Drop it altogether.
Yes, Jerry.
Yes, Jerry. It is yes, Jerry. That's about it. You may say yes, Jerry. Well, my tea?
Oh, it's stewing in the pot. Here, Jerry.
Oh. I don't drink it from the spout, do I? Not a savage, am I? I tell you, I've got a connection, as we call them at Tilson's Bank. A client a-seeking and a-looking, and I tell you, I may go fishing.
Fishing, Father?
Where'd you been? I told you. Where you been, young Jerry?
Fetch a pie. Mother said to fetch a pie.
Oh, yeah. Made of money, of course. Fetch a pie. And what with? Except what I bring in and my lad here. Helping old ladies over the road and holding horse from time to time and making of errands. Well, it's not enough, is it? But you do flop a gimme. And what then? No pies for the lad, no pies for you, nothing.
I just wish
don't
you would...
Don't wish. Why, I might go fishing in a few nights.
Can I come, Father?
No, you mayn't. I am a-going, as your mother knows, with friends. Particular friends. When I go fishing.
Your fishing rod gets rather rusty, doesn't it, Father?
You go looking where you ain't supposed, young Jerry.
Oh, Jerry, don't hurt him.
You go looking where you ain't supposed. You go looking where you ain't supposed, and I shall work to both of you. Do you hear me?
Yes, Father. Yes, I hear. Going fishing tonight?
No. In a night or two, if there's a chance of a bite, then I'll get the boys, take this woman and another pot of tea.
Mad. You're mad, Stryber. Not a hope. I'll have another, Judy.
Are you sure, Mr. Carton?
My friend is buying. He's celebrating.
Celebrating?
He has seen the lady of his dreams. A pretty enough blonde doll.
I'll not have that. I'll have nothing to the detriment of the lady in question. Why are we here, Sidney?
Because before you set eyes on the lady in question, you liked a bit of fun and games. Drink or two, a friendly face or two.
Oh, you've not been in, Mr. Stryver. Jenny said she missed your happy, smiling face.
Then Jenny is a liar.
Here you are, Mr. Carton.
You asked her, have you?
I've decided she should be asked after the next session. It'll give us time to get to know each other and her used to the idea of marriage with a coming man. I'll bring her forward, Sidney. But slowly.
Does Darnay know?
Darnay?
Hmm?
What the devil's Darnay got to do with it? Why should he know?
Does he know you intend that Lucy Manette should be Mrs. Stryver?
Not her name, ma'am. Not a lady's name in here, if you please.
Oh, dear, Stryver. Have you seen her father?
I can take my time. She'll have few opportunities after all, and to be offered my hand. my future. What girl in her senses would not jump at that offer?
I think perhaps a word or two with friends, maybe.
Why?
More haste, less progress, maybe.
You think so?
I do. A word. Discreet. Oh. Yes, I do.
Yeah, but what do you know about the fair sex, apart from what you learn in this sort of... You'll be on your own, of course, when once we're engaged. No more nights on the spree. Huh. Well, not for a time. Hey, Judy, never do.
I think I'd ask about your chances if I were you. Good night.
What? Here, Sydney!
Good night.
Gone away, is he, darling? Moody old devil. Yes. Now, Jenny was asking when you...
Paris, Mr. Tilson.
Paris, Mr. Lorry. In extremis, of course.
Oh, to be sure, in extremis.
The long-standing connections we have, Mr. Lorry, it will take your tact, your certain knowledge to...
Unravel, Mr. Tilson?
Exactly so. For favored connections, account to be removed on account of...
Local difficulties, Mr. Tilson?
Exactly so, Mr. Lorry. We will keep an eye, an ear to the
ground,
indeed.
I am not as young as I once was.
But you are equipped, I think. We think we would be obliged if you would oblige us in extremis, of course.
A place of habit, Tilson's. A place built for inconvenience. A place no man came to without purpose or prior engagement. Nothing to disturb the tranquil contemplation of money, deeds, trusts and wills, the musty odor of banknotes fast decomposing into rags again, plate stowed away among its neighboring cesspools and deeds in extemporized strong rooms.
It is a matter of life. Oh, death.
I'm sorry, Mr. Lorry would not be detained.
Not in the habit of detaining Mr. Lorry.
Mr. Stryver.
You know the gentleman?
I do. And Blagg went away. Mr. Stryver shouldered himself into the musty back closet, my office, paused to glance at the great books ruled for figures, the perpendicular bars of the windows ruled, as it were, for figures too. It was as if everything under the sun were a sum.
Well, sir, how do you do? I hope you are well.
It is Mr. Stryver's peculiarity that he seemed too big for any place or space. Too big for Tilson's. Too big indeed, as if he squeezed far-off clerks against walls. As if Mr. Tilson were to be displeased by being squeezed into the distance. As if he butted his head into a responsible waistcoat.
How do you do, Mr. Stryver? How do you do, sir? Can I do anything for you, Mr. Stryver?
I know. Thank you. This is a private visit to yourself, Mr. Lorry. I have come for a private word. I am going. I have decided to make an offer of myself.
Indeed, sir.
Mm-hmm. I have tried it over in my mind, tested my case, argued with the jury, so to speak, on the worldly grounds, the only grounds worth taking into account. Not a weak spot in the matter. Have gone over the evidence, Mr. Lorry. Counsel for the defense threw up his brief. In short, the jury did not need to consider. Now, I have asked the young lady in question come to Vauxhall Gardens. She was not able. I asked her come to Ranelagh. She was indisposed. It is surprising she should not be able on two occasions, but I am a determined man, sir. I am determined to have her to wife at the earliest.
Who, sir?
Who? Why, bless you, Mr. Lorry, your agreeable little friend, Miss Manette.
Oh, dear me. Oh, yes.
Oh, dear me. Oh, dear you, sir. What may your meaning be, Mr. Lorry?
Well,
My meaning is, of course, friendly, appreciative, and does you the greatest credit. Yes, indeed. Everything you could desire, sir, but... really, you know, Mr. Stryver...
Well, damn it all, sir, am I not eligible?
Yes, yes, of course you are eligible. If you say eligible, you are eligible.
Am I not prosperous?
Oh, if you come to prosperous, you are prosperous.
And advancing.
If you come to advancing, nobody can doubt that.
Then what on earth is your meaning, sir?
Were you by any chance going there now?
Straight.
Oh, then I think I wouldn't, if I was you.
Why? I'll put you in a corner. You are a man of business and bound to have reason. State it. Why wouldn't you go?
Because I wouldn't go on such an object without having some cause to believe I should succeed.
Damn me, this beats everything. A man of business, a man of years, a man of experience in a bank. 3 leading reasons for success admitted, complete success. And he says no reason at all, says it, with his head on.
When I speak of success, I speak of success with the young lady. When I speak of causes and reasons to make success probable, I speak of causes and reasons that will tell as such with the young lady.
The lady, Mr. Stryver, goes before all. Then it is your deliberate opinion that the young lady at present in question is a mincing fool?
Mr. Stryver.
Hmm?
I will hear no disrespectful word of that young lady from any lips. And I say if I knew any man, which I hope I do not, whose taste was so coarse and whose temper was so overbearing that he could not restrain himself from speaking disrespectfully of that young lady at this desk, not even Telson's, should prevent my giving him a piece of my mind. Let there be no mistake about it.
You... Now, this is something new to me, Mr. Lorry. You deliberately advise me not to go to Soho and offer myself? Stryver of the King's Bench Bar?
You are correct.
Beats everything. Everything past, present, and to come. Beats!
I am a man of business, Mr. Stryver. As an old fellow who carried Miss Manette in his arms, who is a trusted friend of Miss Manette and her father, and who has great affection for them both, I have spoken. The confidence is not of my seeking, recollect.
You think I may not be right?
It might be painful to find yourself mistaken. It might be painful to Dr. Manette to have the task of being explicit to you.
Oh.
It might be very painful to Miss Manette to have the task of being explicit with you.
Oh.
You know the terms in which I have the honor to stand with the family. Committing you in no way, I will undertake, by observation and judgment, to discover the truth. You would still be free to test its veracity for yourself, or no, as you chose.
How long would you keep me in town?
A few hours, no more. I go to Soho, and then to your chambers in the evening.
Then I say yes. I won't go up there now. I'm not so hot upon it as it comes to that. I shall expect you to look in tonight. Good day.
And he turned and burst through the bank. 2 ancient clerks had the utmost difficulty in standing against the concussion of air caused by his exit. The venerable and feeble old couple were always seen by the public in the act of bowing, and there are those who say they bow a customer out and keep on bowing until another customer arrives to be bowed in and out again.
Look at them, heaving away, hurrying away their lives, risking life and limb to rush across the street. That Stryver, the barrister, take him. He come out of the bank, Telson's bank, like a cork from a bottle, red a face and puffing and a blowing fit to die. A busted heart, a busted heart for sure. Stryver of the King's Bench. We knows him from going to the Bailey and that Darlian. And I've a ready client for him when he decides to hop the coop. Oh, yeah. See the gentleman across the road, Jerry. Look for him.
You shall not put me in the wrong, young lady. I'll do that for you. My way out of this is to put you all in the wrong.
Sir.
Get off, boy. Get your hands off.
See you across the road, sir. Lean on me, sir.
I know your sort, light fingers. I've seen your sort in the bailey and hanging after due process. Leave off me, boy.
And he walks off into the street, and round him the clatter of horses and carts, and underfoot the stink of mud, and worse. And Jerry not a penny richer. Jerry, the old lady, you're our boy, look lively.
Look over.
Back and forth, and no business, no real business, no infernal business for Jerry Courager. I've a client awaiting on me and nothing to supply him with. And all around they're hurrying and scurrying and suspicion and violence all about us. Burglaries every night and armed men. I hear the Lord Mayor in London was made to stand and deliver on Turnham Green. I hear prisoners fight their jailers and the law fires blunderbusses in among them. Thieves snip off diamond crosses from the necks of noble lords in court, and the mob. The mob fires on musketeers, and musketeers fires on the mob. And the hangman is busy. Everyone is busy about his business, save Cruncher. I'm just a waiting. And them hanging and a branding and a spoiling such goods as is available. It's a waste. A waste.
Jerry!
Oh, good afternoon, Mr. Lorry, sir. Anything I can do for you, sir?
Jerry, find me a chair for Soho.
Yes, sir. How there? Chair! For Soho!
Good of you to call, Lorry. I forget exactly what...
I promised. I have been to Soho.
Yes, indeed. Oh, is the wine to your taste, Mr. Lorry? Five bottle. I have a little man and some James. Very brother.
It is, yes. I said Soho.
Yes. Oh, of course. To be sure. What am I thinking of?
And I have no doubt that I was right in the conversation we had. My opinion is confirmed, and I reiterate my advice.
Oh, I assure you that I am sorry for it on your account and sorry for it on the poor father's account. I know this must always be a sore subject with the family. Let us say no more about it.
I don't understand you, Mr. Stryver.
I dare say not. No matter.
But it does matter.
No, it doesn't. I assure you it doesn't. Having supposed there was sense where there is not sense, and a laudable ambition where there is not laudable ambition, I am well out of my mistake and no harm done.
But surely...
Excuse me. Young women have committed similar follies before and have repented them in poverty and obscurity, often before.
Mr. Stryver...
It is hardly necessary to say that I could have gained nothing from it. My loss is not my loss, to tell the truth. Oh, there's no harm done at all. I have not proposed to the young lady, and between ourselves I am by no means certain on reflection that I should ever have committed myself to that extent.
I have thought, Mr. Lorry,
you cannot control the mincing vanities and giddinesses of empty-headed girls. You must not expect to do it, Mr. Lorry, or you will always be disappointed. Now, pray say no more about it. I regret it. On account of others, I am satisfied. On my own account, I am obliged to you for your advice. You were right. It would never have done. Now, if you don't mind, sir, I have business.
But I thought...
Another glass? I seem to have finished.
No, sir, not another. But, sir...
Say no more about it. Make the best of it, my dear sir. Thank you again for allowing me to sound you. Good night.
Good night?
Well out. Empty-headed. No ambition. No sense. Well done, Stryver. Well judged indeed.
You see it all. Sit here in Fleet Street and see it all a-moving, young Jerry. You watch this, my son. See them teeming by in columns. processions, going first one way, then the other. Like the sun in the sky, rising and setting, and never stopping. London. And all on it a source, my son, a living, my son. The way you're turning a crust, my son. Here, boy, help that old lady cross the street. Help her, my son.
Yes, father.
Good boy, Jerry. Good boy. Your help, madam. You're very good help indeed.
Nothing, father. Not a penny piece this last 2 days. Nothing.
It's your mother, my son. I swear she's been a-flopping again. Mrs. Cruncher's been a-flopping indeed. Here. Jerry, it's a burying. It's a burying.
Oh, father, it's a burying, yeah. What did I do?
What do you mean? What are you roaring at? What do you want to come wait to your own father, you young rip mate? This boy's dead too many for me.
But father...
Oh, roaring? Here it is who roars. Don't let me hear no more of you, or you shall feel some more of me, do you hear?
I weren't doing no harm.
Drop it. I won't have none of you no harm. Get a top of that bear seat and look at the crowd. One man in the coach, and he'd be only mourner. And a man? Here, young Jerry, out the way, boy.
I was only...
I know that man aboard in there. It's him. I know that face. I know that face. Who is he, then?
Oh, I don't know, mister. Spies.
Yeah.
Spies.
Who is he?
Hello, friend. Spies! Informers! Spies!
It's a Bailey spy in a box, mister, if you want to know.
Name of?
Clyde. Roger Clyde. You know him?
Me, sir? Oh, no, sir. No, a Bailey spy, an informer, never.
I thought you said you knew him.
I saw him there, the one in the carriage. That's a Bailey.
Oh.
Off a testimony. Laid bare he was. Destroyed he was. Dead, is he?
Him in the coffin is. I hope.
Can't be good enough for me. Have him out. Come on, get him out. Pull him out here. See him in the coach. Get him out. Bring him up there.
No. No, not me.
Boston. Barshead. Barshead, I know him. Barshead's the name. And he's scuffled out in their hands and left behind a cloak and his hat and his leather band and a white pocket handkerchief and other wares. They run him ragged, and the tradesmen shut up their shops up near a riot. And then...
What are we going to do then with the stick?
Bury him. Here, get in the coach. We'll take him to his grave and plant him. I'm with you.
Harper.
Going for the ride, my son. Tell your loving mother I'll be a little bit lucky. Tell her I'm planning a bit of fishing. Anyone got a wet? The undertakers was well persuaded by the proximity of the river and not wanting a bath. We had a chimney sweeper driving the hearse, advised by the regular driver.
Easy now, mate. My horse isn't used to this.
Go on, get up with him now.
A pieman drove the mourner's coach, and that was filled to busting with men inside and on the roof. And we've started and stopping and a drink here and a pipe there, and the songs we sung. Well, that spy was getting a burying he never bargained for. And Barshead saved himself a few tears. After he was buried, they went home, plundering public houses and pulling down area railings and summer houses and such. And then a rumour got about that the guards was a-coming. Oh, but perhaps they never did. But the mob went home. Oh, yeah. Had business, of course.
It's very good of you, sir. Very kind indeed, and appreciated.
Thirsty work, undertaking.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, and the graveyard is shut up, is it, nights?
Yes, it is, yes. Against the resurrection men.
Oh, I'm glad to hear it. And implanted not too far from the wall, I see. Still, he'll be saving up where he is, eh? Drink up, friend.
Come in.
Miss Manette, I was told you were not engaged. I see you are. You're sewing. If you would rather be...
Mr. Gardner, how nice of you to call.
A bit informal. I was passing. Thought I might be... May I sit down, Miss Manette?
Of course, sir, please.
There's is trouble, Mr. I beg your pardon.
Oh, please, do go on.
Oh, I was observing there had been a disturbance in the streets. They say the guard was called out. I don't know if it's true or not. I trust you're well.
I am, sir. I fear you are not.
No. No, I am not. But the life I lead, Miss Manette, is not conducive to health. What is to be expected of or by such profligates?
Is it not? Forgive me, I have begun the question on my lips. A pity to live no better life?
God knows it is a shame.
And why not change it?
Oh, it's too late for that.
Oh, sir.
I shall never be better than I am. I shall sink lower and be worse.
Please, Mr. Garton... Please, you must not distress yourself.
Forgive me, Miss Manette. I break down before the knowledge of what I want to say to you. Will you hear me?
If it will make you happier, it would make me very glad.
Well, don't be afraid to hear me. Don't shrink from anything I say. I am like one who died young. All my life might have been...
No, Mr. Gardner. I am sure that the best part of it might still be. I am sure that you might be much, much worthier of yourself.
Say you. Although I know better. Although in the mystery of my own wretched heart I know better. I shall never forget that. If it had been possible that you could have returned the love of the man you see before you. Please... A wasted, drunken creature of misuse, as you know him to be, he would have been conscious this day and hour, in spite of his happiness, that he would bring you to misery. Sorrow and repentance blight you, disgrace you, pull you down with him. I know you can have no tenderness for me, and I ask for none. I'm even thankful that it cannot be.
Can I in no way repay your confidence? I know this is a confidence. I know you would say this to no one else.
Oh, I know now. To no one. Hear but a little more, and all you can ever do for me is done. I wish you to know that you have been the last dream of my soul.
No.
Of the sight of you in this home that has been made by you. Since I have known you, old shadows have stirred in me. Remorse that I thought would never touch me again. Old voices I thought silent forever, impelling me upward. You, I have had an unformed idea of striving afresh, beginning anew, shaking off sloth and sensuality and fighting out the abandoned fight. A dream.
No,
a dream that ends in nothing and leaves the sleeper where he lay down. But I wish you to know you inspired it.
Mr. Gardner, will nothing remain tried?
No. I know myself. You kindled me, heap of ashes that I am, into a fire. A fire, however, inseparable in its nature from myself, quickening nothing, lighting nothing, doing no service, idly burning away.
And my misfortune to have made you unhappier than you were.
Oh, no. The utmost good that I am capable of now, Miss Manette, I have come here to realize. I know I distress you, and I will end soon. Will you let me believe, when I recall this day, that the last confidence of my life was reposed in your pure and innocent breast, and that there it lies alone and will be shared by no one?
The secret is yours, not mine, and I promise to respect it.
I thank you. Bless you. I swear that in the hour of my death I shall hold sacred this one good remembrance, and shall thank and bless you for it, that my last avowal of myself was made to you, and that my name and faults and miseries were gently carried in your heart. May it otherwise be light and happy.
Oh, you poor, poor man.
No, no, no. I am worth such feeling. An hour or two, and the low companions and low habits I scorn but yield to will render me less worth those tears than any wretch who creeps along the streets. Be comforted. But within myself, I shall always be to you what I am now. Though outwardly I shall be what you have heretofore seen me, awkward, surly, I suppose watchful. On my last supplication, for you, or anyone dear to you, I would do anything. I would embrace any sacrifice for you and those dear to you. Now try to hold me in your mind as ardent and sincere in this one thing. The time will come when new ties will be formed about you. Ties to bind you even more tenderly to the home you adorn. The dearest ties that will ever grace and gladden you. And when you see your own bright beauty springing up anew at your feet, think now and then that there is a man who would give his life to keep a life you love beside you. Farewell. Bless you.
Fishing, that's where I'm a-going, fishing.
No, Jerry.
Beg your pardon. Did I hear you speak a word? Did I hear a word?
She said no, Father. She said no. Shall you bring any fish home, Father? Oh, let us come a-fishing, Father.
Never, never.
I heard her voice again. Did I or did I not?
She said never, Father. She did.
You get it up, Ed.
Oh.
And you, Mrs. No games tomorrow. Honest tradesman providing a joint of meat or two. None of you're not touching it and sticking to bread. You hear?
Yes, Jerry.
Yes, Debbie. If I, as a honest tradesman, am able to provide a little beer, none of you are declaring on water. When you go to Rome, do as Rome do. Rome will be an ugly customer to you if you don't. I'm your Rome. Now, young Jerry, get your bed. Go on, bed.
Did you tell her about the burying that you went to? Oh.
I told you, bed.
You never...
You hold your tongue. Flying in the face of your own wills and drink. Flopping tricks of your unfeeling conduct. Look at your boy. He is yours and he fit as a laugh. You call yourself a mother and not know a mother's first duty is to blow her boy out. Look at him.
Oh, God, no, please.
Now then, it's time.
Oh, please, Jerry, don't go this month. Don't go.
Key, give me the key.
Please don't go out tonight.
Low ball. Chain. Rope. Fishing tackle, you see, my dear. Real fishing tackle. And a nice sack for putting the catch in. When I come back, I want no sign of you having meditated for half a minute even. No flopping while me back's turned. Now then.
What
about it and undress. I followed him this time. I wanted to watch him a-fishing. He met two more fishermen after about half an hour of walking away from the river. Three on them. And coming on top of a brick wall and iron railings, I seen him. He went over the gate and then the others. And they began fishing.
It was dark as pitch. And only a bit of moon. And... oh, no. Oh. No. Oh, my God.
There was still a digging and a shoving with the crowbar. And screwing something like a great corkscrew into the ground. Over the fish.
And they took the lid off the coffin. No!
I told you! I get water! I told you! No pain can be! I warned you!
It's not my fault! It ain't my fault, Jeffy!
You oppose yourself to the profit of this business! And me and my partners suffer! You was the honour of the bay! Why the devil don't you?
To be a good wife.
Is it being a good wife to dishonour his business? Is it obeying your husband to disobey him on things vital? Subject of his business.
You hadn't aimed to that dreadful business then, Jerry.
It's enough for you to be the wife of a honest tradesman and not to occupy your female mind with when he took to his trade or when he didn't. A honouring and a obeying wife without his trade alone. You call yourself a religious woman. If you're a religious woman, give me an irreligious one. You have no more natural sense of duty than the Bialithia River Thames as of a pile. And likewise, it must be not easier.
Hold your noise, boy. What caused you out of cheerfulness?
None, Father.
What's all your noise?
Father?
Yeah?
What's a resurrection man?
How should I know that?
I thought you knowed everything, Father.
Well, in a word, he's a tradesman.
Like you, Father?
Yes, in a matter of speaking, like me.
His goods?
Is a branch of scientific goods.
Person's bodies, isn't it, Father?
Shh. I believe it is something of that sort.
I think I should like to be a resurrection man when I'm quite grown up.
Really? Well, it depends, son. Develop your talents. Never say no more than you can help to nobody. There's no telling at the present time what you may not come to be fit for. Bless me. There's hope yet in the boy. A blessing to you he'll be, Jerry. And a recompense for his mother.
A king with a large jaw and a queen with a plain face on the throne in England. On the throne in France, a king with a large jaw and a queen with a fair face. To the lords of the state, preservers of loaves and fishes in both countries, it is clearer than the wine we sell that things are settled forever. And in the belly of the beast, a smouldering fire, burning in the dark. Hidden in the dregs, burning, and plenty drink that wine from morning to night, here. Plenty talk in whispers behind hands, slink in and out our door, and I watch them, I know them. There are those come without a sou to their name, and they're as welcome as if they'd enough to buy a barrel. They swallow talk in place of drink, greedily. and there are some I don't know. No one knows, and we have a sign agreed. And no one talks beyond, good morning, how's the child? Are your legs better? No more. Loose tongues wag themselves to death in France.
Good day, gentlemen. My friend here is thirsty. Wine. It is bad weather, gentlemen. Bad.
And two of the company slip away.
My wife. My friend has traveled a long way. A road mender from the country. Jacques, Madame Defarge. Drink the wine, friend.
Thank you, madame.
I met him by accident. A day and a half's journey out of Paris.
He doffed his blue cap to the company, this man called Jacques, and took bread from the breast of his blouse. Coarse, dark bread, and ate it with the wine. And another slid away from the company and out.
If you've finished, friend.
Thank you.
Come along, then. Bring your bread. You will see the apartment I told you you would have for the night.
They went together to a room in which a white-haired man had made shoes one time. No white-haired man, no. But three others.
Jacques, one, two, three. This is the witness. Met by appointment with me, Jacques Four. He will tell you what he has seen. Speak, Jacques Five.
Where to start, monsieur?
At the beginning.
A year ago this summer I saw him, under the carriage of the Marquis, hanging by the chain under his carriage. I only saw him by chance. I was asked later by the Marquis's men what I saw. I told them I never saw the man before, but he was tall, tall as a spectre.
You should have told them a dwarf.
What did I know? The deed was not then done. Neither did he ask me, confide in me. The Marquis's men demanded, and I gave nothing.
He is right enough, Jacques. Go on.
The tall man was lost and sought many months. 9, 10, 11 more. I'm again at work on the hillside, and the sun is again about to go to bed, and I'm collecting my tools to go down to my home in the village, where it is already dark. 6 soldiers come over the hill with him, bound in the middle of them, tied. I see them pass, and he sees me, and knows me. And their shadows march like giants over the hillsides. And to me, he makes no sign. His arms so tight bound, they swell. And he is lame and falls, and they drive him on. And he went on. And the village sees the prison gate open in the darkness of the night and swallow him. And the village whispers by the fountain, and then sleeps and dreams of that unhappy one in the prison on the crag, never to come out except to perish. I see him the next morning in the cage, bound arm and leg. He watches me like a dead man.
Go on.
He stayed for some days in the cage, and then... they say in the village he will not be executed. The man was enraged and made mad by the death of his child. Monsieur the Marquis was out of favor in the court. The village says the king has been presented with a petition. Oh, what do I know? Is it possible?
Defarge, who you see, risked his life, ran under the king's horses and presented the petition to the king. It is true.
The petitioner was struck by the guards, beaten to the ground, but the king took the petition.
Yes, well, they say that he slew Monsieur, and because Monsieur was father of his tenants, he will die a parricide's death. At the fountain, old men talk of hands burned off, wounds made in his arms, breast and legs, and into the wounds will be poured boiling oil, melted lead, resin, wax, and sulphur. Who knows? Could it be done?
It was done to a prisoner called Damien in the open streets in the open day here in Paris. And the ladies of quality and fashion watched to the last. He still breathed when he'd lost 2 legs and an arm. It was done. It was done.
Long live the devil. Go on.
They hanged him over the fountain. A gag in his mouth made him look as if he laughed. It was tied so tight. 40 feet high over the fountain. And left hanging with the knife over his head and poisoning the water. He is still there. And you see me here.
You did well.
Now, will you wait for us outside the door? For a moment. How say you? To be registered?
I say you, Jacques.
To be registered as doomed to destruction.
Magnificent.
The chateau and all the race.
The chateau and all the race. Extermination.
Are we sure the register is safe?
Knitted by my wife. Knitted in her own stitches and her own symbols. Plain to her as the sun. It will be easier to erase himself from existence as for any of the family of Monsieur le Marquis to be erased from that register. Trust Madame Defarge.
Everywhere spies, informers, the rats of state. Everywhere. Looking, asking, seeing nothing. Doomed here in my hands. I knit a shroud for them. Condemned to destruction. The whole pack and race of them.
The shadow of Monsieur le Marquis, now in his grave. The stone faces carved into the walls and buttresses looked down on the few village scarecrows who strayed in their search for herbs to eat or sticks to burn. There were those who said these stone faces, when the knife struck home, changed from faces of pride to faces of anger. That they changed again when that dangling figure was hauled up 40 feet above the fountain and bore the cruel look of being avenged. Chateau and hut, stone face and dangling figure, the red stain on the stone floor and the pure water of the village well, all France itself lay concentrated. And in the dark wine shop, Madame Defarge counts the small monies left in the drawer. Defarge smokes a pipe, not interfering as she checks the small change of the business. Never interfering. He walks up and down, as he walks up and down through life.
What did Jacques of the police tell you?
All he knows. It's not much. There's another spy commissioned for our quarter. There may be more for all he knows, but one he is sure of.
Hmm. We'll put him in the register.
He is English.
So much the better.
Barsad is his name. John Barsad.
Do we know what he looks like?
Age about 40, about 5'9", black hair. Complexion dark, generally rather handsome visage. Eyes dark, face thin, long, sallow. Nose aquiline, but not straight. Having a peculiar inclination to the left cheek. Expression, therefore, sinister.
He shall be registered tomorrow.
Oh, I hate these nights. Too hot. It stinks outside and it stinks here. I'm a little tired.
You are a little depressed, too. And faint of heart, my dear.
It is a long time.
Vengeance and retribution require a long time. It is the rule.
It does not take a long time to strike a man with lightning.
It does not take a long time for an earthquake to swallow a town. Tell me how long it takes to prepare an earthquake.
A long time, yes, yes.
But when it is ready, it takes place and grinds to pieces everything before it. In the meantime, it is always preparing, though it is not seen or heard. That is your consolation. Keep it. I tell you, Defarge, it is a long time on the road. But it is on the road and coming. It never retreats and never stops. Look around and consider the lives, the faces of all the world we know. Consider the rage and discontent to which every comrade, every faction addresses itself with more and more certainty every hour. Can it last as it is? I mock you. Depressed, soft more like.
It is possible that it may not come during our lives. We shall not see the triumph.
We shall have helped it. Nothing we do is done in vain. I believe with all my soul we shall see it. But even if not, even if I knew certainly not... Show me the neck of an aristocrat and tyrant, and still I would crush it.
No, I know, my dear, I too will stop at nothing.
You! Your weakness is that you need from time to time to see your victim, to see the opportunity.
Not true!
As I breathe. When the time comes, Defarge, let loose a tiger and a devil. But wait for the time with the tiger and the devil chained, not shown. Yet always ready.
100 and... No, tower. Confused. 105. Her hair on my sleeve. No means of escape. Dreams. 105, Lord. Not your name. Not your name.
It's all right, Bob. Go back to sleep. A dream, a nightmare. It's all gone now. I'm here. I'm here.
105. Your star. Like hers. Who are you?
Sleep now. Sleep.
Let loose the tiger and the devil. Let loose extermination. Let loose extermination.